in the 19th chapter of Exodus, verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, "Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever." And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready," underline that, "be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai." And you can read down there in verse number 14 through 16, that's exactly what Moses said, and he told him to get ready. And the Bible said, it came to pass, verse number 16, "It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether parts of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke." In other words, it was like a fire that was smoking. "Because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And there was voice out of it," verse 19 says, and verse 20 says, "He began to talk to Moses." I mean, there's a manifestation of the glory of God in thunders and lightning and cloud and fire and smoke. You see, through the Bible, those are all ways that the glory of God is manifested or described, you could say, throughout the Old and the New Testament. And so God came. Tell your neighbor, God came. That's what revival is, when God comes. When the presence of God manifests. But I want to talk to you tonight about getting ready for God to move in your life. Getting ready for God to move in your life. I want you to notice there what he said. You notice in verse number 11, this is what God told Moses to say to him: "Be ready against the third day, because I'm coming down into their midst. Be ready on the third day. Get ready." And earlier he said, "Sanctify," verse number 9 there, it says, verse 10, "go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." So there was a preparation that God said that he wanted them to make in order for him to come into their midst. Hallelujah. And I'm going to share tonight about some things about getting ready for the meetings we're getting ready to go into. I got redirected. I was going to go a different direction, kind of continue on the series we were doing, but God didn't like my sermon. I told Pastor Debbie jokingly I got one of her sermons out and God didn't like it. But I was kidding. Totally false. A lie. It wasn't true. I actually repented to her. But there, I did it again. I said it again. So I got to repent again. Have you ever fallen more than once in the same area? Oh, she knows I'm kidding. But, amen. I believe he wants us to get ready. Yes. So he changed. He wants us to talk about this tonight. Getting ready for God to move in our lives. I want you to go also to another passage of Scripture. Let's just look at the book of Matthew. Go to the book of Matthew. Well, let's go to the book of Luke, and then we'll go to Matthew. I don't know if we'll get to Matthew. Go to the book of Luke, the first chapter. I'm going to just read to you the 17th verse. This is God speaking about the ministry of John the Baptist and what his ministry would be about. Luke 1:17, as I said, I'm just going to, for time's sake, only read the Amplified. He will himself, this is John the Baptist, "go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient and incredulous and unpersuadable to the wisdom of the upright, which is the knowledge and holy love of the will of God." Isn't that an interesting thought? knowledge and holy love of the will of God. We were talking about loving God a couple weeks ago, about loving His will. What does He want to do? He wants to move amongst us. He wants to manifest Himself. And then He said, in order to make ready, this is John the Baptist's ministry, in order to make ready for the Lord a people, notice, perfectly prepared in spirit, adjusted and disposed and placed in the right moral state. For what? Prepared in spirit, adjusted in their heart. For what? For Jesus the Messiah to come on the scene. He was preparing people. John the Baptist was going before the Messiah, prepared. That was his ministry, to prepare people for what God was getting ready to do. Well, I think then God must think it's important that we be ready for what He wants to do. Can you see that? Just in two verses, that we can see that God wants us to be ready. Amen. So let's talk a little bit about it. You can just go to Matthew 24 real quickly if you'd like. I don't want to take a lot of time there, but you can write it down in your notes if you just want to listen. A couple of verses I'll refer to. If you're writing things in your notes, go write down Matthew 24, 32 through 51. 32 through 51. And we won't read it all, but basically, God is Jesus is speaking in this account. He said, He's talking about knowing things are at the door in verse number 33. In other words, if something's at the door, it's about ready to come in. It's about ready to enter in. And so, and then He goes on for the rest of these verses all the way down through 51, talking about watch, be alert, and be sober, and know what's coming. And then He kept saying in verse 44, for example, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. He's talking about Jesus coming back. And He says, be ready. In other words, it's not enough. In other words, here's the point. The point is, you and I have to prepare for what God wants to do in our lives and in our midst. We shouldn't just waltz into something and just, you know, not having prepared. In God's mind, there must be preparation for what He wants to do. Now, when I say preparation, I mean natural preparation and spiritual preparation. We saw in Luke where He said, prepared in heart. That's something that happens in your heart, your spirit. When we say spiritual, that means something in your spirit. If we say physical, that's something in our body. If we say mental, that's something in our mind, right? Spiritual is something in our spirits. Or something of the Spirit of God, if it's applied to the Spirit of God. So now, the point is that He wants us to be prepared, or we could, the implication is, without being prepared, we could miss what God wants to do. We could do without it. Spiritual things can be forfeited. You understand? If we aren't ready when they come. Somebody said, well, if I'm not ready, God will wait. Not always. Sometimes He's out of time. Jesus is coming again, and what He's going to do, He's going to do before Jesus comes again. And He can't wait forever on us. If we're not ready, He'll find somebody else because He's running out of time. God planned some things for this earth. And what we've got to have before Jesus comes back is the full manifestation of an era of signs, wonders, and miracles of the Word and the Spirit, and the full manifestation of everything God said about the latter rain. That has to be manifested. And guess what? That we're in part of that now, but God wants to move us into more of it. And in that rain is everything that we've been desiring. Hallelujah. And God is bringing us a minister that has greatness in him from God. I didn't say any man is great. No man, me, or anybody, any other man is great. But people carry great things in God on the inside of them. Amen. People are carriers. Who they've been around, who's imparted into their life, what they have witnessed, the things God has used them in, their stature in the body of Christ, the voice they have, the influence they have, the anointing they have, the ministry and the reach that their ministry has can be greater or lesser. according to what God has given them and their faithfulness to participate and follow God in it. And God's given us the honor of receiving a man with greatness in him into our midst for 4 days, two times a day, to not only have a meeting, but to impart into this congregation for the next phase of our assignment in this era. There's more happening here than just a good meeting, a lot of people saved, a lot of people healed. All that is part of it. That's the main focus of it. But there's impartations into us as a congregation. What an honor from God to be given the stewardship of that ministry coming to Cedar Rapids. That there's greatness in him. As far as I can tell, Pastor Nancy said this to him one time at a table we were all fellowshipping at, and he thought about it, and he couldn't dispute it. Apparently, he's the last living connection to the healing revival, last living minister who was connected or in the healing revival back in the 40s and 50s. Well, let's get all we can. Learn all we can while he's here. Amen. So that man has witnessed more signs and wonders and miracles than maybe, I don't know, I don't know everybody, you understand, maybe anybody alive today. The healings in his own ministry, let alone his father's before his father went on to heaven, are just multiplied tens of thousands. Just amazing number of healing. And his ministry, just healing is a big part of his ministry. Well, we must prepare and have the right kind of preparation of heart to receive that on the scale that it's coming at us in. I don't want it to come in a huge deluge, like a huge pipe, and we've got this little wee receiver that takes in about this much of it. Let's be prepared in heart to take it all, to receive it all. Amen. And according to the way these verses are written, here's Matthew, we're still here in Matthew 24. These verses are saying that we must be prepared and get ready for what God wants to do. Amen. And be aware of it. Verse 50 talks about it. Be aware. Jesus uses the account of Noah and the flood up there in verse 36. 37 actually, verse 37 through 39. He uses the account, if they had been aware of what was coming, they would have gotten ready. And so he keeps saying, be ready, get ready, be aware and get ready. Amen. So praise the Lord. If you read in Luke 19, verses 41 through 44, Jesus came up to the city of Jerusalem over a hill, looked down over the city of Jerusalem and began to weep over Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only known the time of your visitation." But he said, You weren't aware of it. And so what I wanted to do, I couldn't do. And what I didn't want to happen to your city will be happening. And it was. It was destroyed. He prophesied it right there. Well, I don't want Jesus weeping over Eastern Iowa, weeping over Spirit of Faith, weeping over Cedar Rapids. I want him pleased because we knew the time of our visitation. And not only did we know it, we were ready for it. If you don't know it, you can't get ready for it. Amen. Encounters with God are forfeited because people aren't prepared. That's what these verses are saying. You remember whenever I've told you about when the Lord called me to the ministry back at, I believe I was about, I guess about 8 years old. I didn't keep a diary at the age of eight. So I'm just estimating because I know it was before I was saved. And I know I got saved at 10 years old. So I estimate around 2 years before I got saved. If I'm wrong and I get to heaven, I'll tell you I was wrong. I was 6 and a half or whatever. But it doesn't really matter. The point is, I was young and I had that dream when the Lord called me to the ministry and he said, "Go tell my people I'm coming soon." And then whenever I came here to pastor, before we got here, actually, we were preparing and everything to come, the Lord spoke to me again and he said, "What I've told you before, I tell you again, go tell my people I'm coming soon." And then he said this. He said, he added this part to it the second time. He said, "Tell them to get ready." That's an interesting thought. Get ready. You know what that means? We're not automatically ready. Number one, we're not automatically ready. Number two, it means some people are not ready. Huh? I said, are you out there? Some people are not ready. Somebody said, well, what's the consequence of not being ready? Well, I can't tell you everything. I don't know everything. I know a few things. I know 1 John 2:27 says, if we're not ready, we'll be ashamed before Him at His coming. Well, what if we're not ready for anything God wants us to have or wants to do in our lives? Then we'll be ashamed, I think. Would that be okay to say that? I know Matthew, we were here in 24. If you read this whole chapter of Matthew, you'll say, you can see that if without being ready, rewards will be forfeited. Somebody said, is everybody going to go in the rapture that's saved? I don't know. I have evidence on both sides of it, so that's why I've never really preached yay or nay. Okay. From the Scriptures, I see evidence on both sides of it. Why would we want to find out? Why don't we just go all the way for God? You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Well, awfully weak on that. We shouldn't be interested in finding, wanting to find out. Amen. I want to go up on the first load. How about you? Hallelujah. Tickets, please. That's me. That's me. I'm thinking. I'm going on the first load, man. But it means more than just, you know, being saved. Being ready is more than just being saved. Being ready means walking in all the light, staying full of the Holy Ghost, staying obedient to God, being a doer of the Word, and just, I mean, it includes being in church, I believe. Because you really can't, anyway, I won't get off on that. Jesus told Brother Hagin in a vision in 1950, he showed him in a vision the end time revival and all the miracles and signs and wonders that would happen, and he said that it would even surpass what is recorded, the miracles recorded in the book of Acts. Whoa. And then he said this. These are startling words. He said, Jesus said, many of my own people will not accept the moving of my Spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Somebody say, what does not ready look like? That tells you what not ready looks like. Not wanting to move with the Spirit. Pushing aside the move of the Spirit. Spirit of faith does not push aside the move of the Spirit. We invite the move of the Spirit. We hunger for the move of the Spirit. And that includes signs, wonders, and miracles. It includes speaking in tongues. It includes utterances of the Spirit. It includes prophecy. It includes laying hands on the sick and they'll recover. It includes power in casting out devils and everything. Raising the dead. Did you hear what Jesus said to Brother Hagin in that vision? Many of my own people will not accept the moving of my Spirit and will turn back. Have we seen that today? And will not be ready to meet me at my coming. In other words, without moving further into the move of the Spirit, he said, my people won't be ready. Well, that makes sense. The Spirit is part of our preparation. The Word, keeping our word, our minds renewed with the Word and following the Holy Ghost is part of being prepared for what God's trying to do for us. Amen. So according to Jesus, turning away from the moving of the Spirit will cause some people not to be ready to meet Jesus. Somebody said, does that mean they're not going to go in the rapture? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying not ready. I wish I had done some things different. There he is. You know what I'm talking about? I wish I had not played games. I wish, because we're going to have to stand before, next thing after that's the judgment seat. We're going to have to stand and give an account. You know, people think, well, I can do whatever I want. Yeah, but you're robbing all the rest of us of the supply that you have to the work of God. And I think that's a serious thing to the Lord. Because he said, the way you treat my brethren is the way you treat me. We're not just here doing our thing, we're here doing God's thing. And without bringing your supply to the work of God through a faithful supply into a local church, then you're hindering the work of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In 2003, Brother Hagin prophesied. That's the year he went to heaven. And this was February. He went to heaven in September. But in February, he prophesied. He sat down in a chair and he said, he's speaking to the Word of Faith camp. And he said, you pride yourself or say to yourself, we are word people. And he said, right and true. And right and true, for it is true, or something like that. And then he said, but don't forget, not only are you word people, you're Holy Ghost people. He said, yes, preach the Word. But then he said, move with the Spirit in line with the Word. He said, because I'm paraphrasing, because often the Spirit of God has endeavored to move amongst you in your midst and in your churches. And you've not moved with Him. Now, trying to be nice here. But the Lord said to me at Brother Hagin's memorial service, He said, Jesus, I believe the Lord was talking to me. I didn't see Him. I don't mean that, but I believe it was the Lord talking to me. He said, keep preaching faith. He said, the time is coming that the message of faith will almost be like a new message in the body of Christ. And he said this, even among the people that call themselves Word of Faith. Now that has already, that's 2003. This is 2019, 16 years, not almost 16, well, after February, it would have been 16 years ago. No, excuse me, September, almost 16 years. And that has already begun to happen. Already begun to happen. Now, that's the message of faith. We're not even talking about moving with the Spirit. That has pretty much left the camp. Now, I know some people don't like that. But compared to where they were in 2003, I think 90% of it's gone. I know people don't like to hear it. Well, what did Jesus say to Brother Hagin in 1950? Many of my own people will not accept the moving of my Spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. In other words, they're doing their own plan in ministry, their own plan in services, not the plan of God, which is the move of the Spirit. Well, hallelujah. Anyway, just say amen, suck it up and say, I just love what God's doing, hallelujah. Now, before we get into that any further, we're talking about preparation. We're talking about a time of visitation here in this next week where there is going to be all sorts of things in the Spirit happening. You're going to sense a lot of spiritual activity and your spirit's going to be trying to grab onto everything that's happening because there's going to be a lot of happening at the same time. Yes, sir. And so, and we got to be prepared for that, and we're going to spend a little time on that too. But let's back up, though, and talk about natural preparation. Because notice even in Exodus 19 there, God even said, He told him to get ready naturally too. So let's talk a little bit about that. Would that be all right? First of all, one thing when it comes to natural preparation, I know something that I've learned over the years. Actually, Pastor Hagin was the one that started saying it, and I never forgot it because it always stuck out to me because I realized the reality of it in my spirit. He said, the natural and the supernatural working together make an explosive force for God. In other words, it takes more than, in order to be ready for what God's going to wants to do in our midst in the spirit, it takes more than just supernatural preparation. It takes natural preparation. I don't know if you've ever thought much about that, but I remember hearing someone talking about T.L. and Daisy Osborne. I don't know if you know who T.L. Osborne was. If you don't know who T.L. Osborne was, go Google him. He went to heaven maybe, 5 to 10 years ago, something like that. I kind of lost track of what the date was. He was probably the greatest worldwide healing evangelist in modern day, probably rivaling the reach of the Apostle Paul in his day. T.L. Osborne's ministry saw more people. He preached to more people face-to-face, they say, than any man in modern day. Saw more people saved face-to-face. I mean, he'd have crowds over in the African nations of up to 1 million people at a time. And they would get saved by the hundreds of thousands and healed by the hundreds of thousands. Mass healings all at once. Mass baptisms. You ought to go and look at some of the videos YouTube videos or something and look at the masses. Sometimes whenever he'd pray for people to be filled with the Spirit, you could see the wave of the Spirit go out over the crowd. He'd say, be filled. And the wave of the Spirit would go out of, over a crowd of 750,000 people or something like that. And you'd see them falling under the power from the front to the back or lifting their hands and speaking in tongues from the front to the back. You can't see every person, but you can see on the video the wave of the Spirit going over the crowd. And they're lifting their hands, speaking in tongues in mass. Amazing harvest. I mean, he wasn't a little corn picker. He was a huge combine for the gospel. I mean, I want to talk to him when I get to heaven. He was an evangelist, and his wife's name was Daisy Osborne. Well, somebody was telling me about their ministry and said, those huge crusades, Brother T.L. Osborne, he was the main minister. Daisy ministered also. But T.L. was the main minister. They ministered together. I don't want to diminish her ministry, but he was the main minister. And he was the preacher. He was the one that had the main healings and all of that. Now, but Daisy was a world-class organizer. She's the one that organized all those crusades. She's the one that got the churches together. She's the one that would get all the pastors on one page, organize how to contact all these people that got saved. And a pastor would have make contact with them to get them into the church because they knew there's more to harvest than just getting them, you know, getting them saved. You got to get them in the church. And so they organized masses of groups of pastors. They'd have meetings with pastors, of thousands of pastors before the meeting. And she's the one that organized all of that, got all the equipment prepared, the buses to bus everybody into those crusades, all that organized. She was a world-class organizer. There was more to the success of that ministry than just spiritual preparation. There was a lot of preparation in the natural to have that kind of harvest. And I've learned over the years that the natural and the supernatural working together makes an explosive force for God, just like Pastor Hagin has said. He still says it. But the thing I want you to know is that's why we have such standards around here of excellence and preparation. We have been preparing for months for this meeting. I mean little things, down to little things. We're thinking through every scenario and thinking through the music. If this happens in the service, what are we going to do? Musically, what are we going to do? Do we have songs for altar calls? Do we have songs for the joy flow? Do we have songs for the healing flow? Do we have songs for all these different flows? Maybe one won't fit. Maybe we have five of them ready or something. And the Holy Ghost will show whoever's leading which one fits for that, you know. Or maybe it's one we didn't even prepare. That the anointing is on. We don't want to be standing here going, uh-oh, we weren't ready for this flow. See, there's a natural preparation. Sometimes you see me during praise and worship. Hopefully you're not watching because hopefully you're worshiping the Lord. But what's happening, and I'm worshiping the Lord, and the Spirit of God will say something to me about, get ready for this. He just did it tonight. Here it is. I'll show it to you. Here's a list. I had to grab the song sheet tonight, and I wrote some things over here and some things over here. Talk to all the team about this, the worship team, through Brian. Now, talk to him about all this. About getting ready for these meetings. Amen. Watch how, anyway, I won't get into all the things that it says on here, but see, I'm preparing, not just in the spirit, but in the natural. Hallelujah. God honors excellence. I said, He honors excellence. It's a sign that we are preparing, we are honoring what He wants to do in our midst enough to get ready for it, to prepare for it. It takes natural things as well as spiritual things. Your helps ministry position is not just a spiritual thing. It is a natural thing, but it's not just a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. If you're a door greeter, that's a natural thing. It might seem like if you're an usher, that's a natural thing. But if you do it out of the right heart, you're bringing a supply not just to the natural. You're bringing a supply to the Spirit. And if you're tuned into the Holy Ghost and you're ready ahead of time because you sense where God's wanting to go and your helps ministry position requires you to do this or that, then you're already ready. Amen. And so natural things are important. That's why we've been doing so many of the things you're seeing around campus. A number of years ago, a friend of ours and us were talking about two different lady ministers who we both knew of, both of them, that have almost, as far as we can tell, identical anointings in the area of the prophetic and so forth. And so we were talking about it. And but one ministry is right now, one ministry is world, one of these ministries we were talking about is worldwide, and the other one is more like a local ministry. It's not a very big ministry. And we were talking to this individual, and the friend of ours, I mean, and this individual we were talking to, our friend, said this. She said, the only thing I can tell is that the one who has the larger ministry is better able to do the natural things as well as flowing in the Spirit. Ah. And they said, the only reason I can see that one hasn't reached further is that they're just not able to do the natural things as well as the other one as far as organization, putting the natural side of ministry together, and things like that. I never forgot that. I said, I never forgot that. Some of you are here preparing for ministry. This is part of it. Getting you involved in helps ministry to show you how to do things in the natural. It sounds so carnal. It sounds like I'm called to preach. Why would I do all that? Because this is part of it. This is part of excellence. This is part of excellence. Amen. We have prepared everything. We've prepared every scenario for every meal. We've prepared if they want to go and take the meal. We've prepared and don't want to eat here. We've prepared their vehicle. We've prepared to wash the car in the middle of the week. If it gets dirty, we're going to wash it. If it gets dirty, we see it comes in and it gets dirty, we're going to wash it. We're going to watch how full the gas tank is. I mean, if we went through with you tonight, everything we prepared to do, it would be till 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Prepare. Why? Because that's honor. Because that's excellence. Because that's faith. Somebody said, how's that faith? Well, remember, Hebrews 11, verse number 7, it talks by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things to come, prepared. Faith prepares. I said, faith prepares. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Some of you are not sure. There's a natural side and a supernatural side. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. Amen. If a person is sloppy and unprepared for you when you go to visit them, let's say you fly to a relative's house, some another city somewhere, another state, and you fly there, and they almost forgot to pick you up, and they took you to their house, and the bedroom you're going to stay in is not even ready, and they don't have meals thought through, they didn't go grocery shopping, the house is disorderly. What does that mean? Are you still there? It's an honor issue. It wasn't important enough to them. Amen. When we traveled full-time in the ministry, when we got to a church, if everything was disorganized and they're sort of scrambling at the last minute to figure out who's going to pick them up at the airport and they're late to the airport and they're figuring out at the airport which car is he going to have and which, you know, and you get to the hotel and they haven't checked us in. There's nothing in the room. There's no bottled water. There's nothing there. We knew before anything else happened, we knew this meeting is going to struggle. The anointing is not going to flow well here. Because if they didn't prepare in the natural, you know they didn't prepare spiritually. And we didn't just jump up and down if they said, would you come back again next year? Hello, 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 hello. We knew it wasn't going to be easy there. I said, we knew it. How would you get ready if Jesus was your guest speaker next week? Remember, he said in Matthew 10:40, he that receives you, receive me. So he is the guest speaker next week. Amen. Let's not be sloppy. I mean, I'm kind of preaching to the choir tonight. You know what I mean? You know what that means. But the point is, we have the great honor of hosting this caliber of minister, and we need to be prepared. I mean, the way we prepare, if we need it done by last week, then we told the people that are doing it, have it done the week before. If it needed to be done today, we probably told you it needed to be done a week ago. Wednesday a week ago. In case something comes up. We don't want to be caught off guard unprepared. We think ahead. There's a revelation for some people. Think ahead. Think ahead about every scenario. Amen. Can I just say something? Some of you, that bugs you in the helps ministry. But that's why we keep Teresa around. Because she thinks ahead, and she's thinking in every area, every scenario. Have you thought about this? What about that? And Pastor Debbie go home and say, she's going to stay on staff for as long as she will stay. In fact, we've made a rule. She can't leave.
Amen. Love her. Love her.
Somebody said, I don't like all that. Well, then you need to come up in your excellence.
Yes.
And come up in your faith. Because you're living an unprepared life. If that bothers you, then that's the way you're living in the natural. You're not thinking ahead. You're not preparing. You're not ready. And if God wanted to do something in your life, he'd say, they're not ready. I have to find somebody else. Okay, I'll go. Hallelujah. Now, why don't you do something between now and Sunday to get ready in the natural? I've shared this with you before. Why don't you get all the laundry done?
Yes.
Next week is not laundry week. After the meeting's fine, but not Sunday, not Monday, and probably not Saturday afternoon either. Probably just get it done tonight, tomorrow night, when, you know, Thursday night, Friday night. Finish it all up Saturday morning, and Saturday afternoon, all your chores are done, all the groceries are done. Maybe even you even prepared some meals and put them in the freezer. Come on now. You got ready. So that next week, all you can do is just you don't have to take care of all the natural things because you are prepared. Hallelujah. Pay the bills. Do the stuff that you would normally have to do that week. Can you say amen? Well, hallelujah. Now let's switch gears. Let's not switch gears. Let's go to another area of preparing. 2 Kings 4:8. Go over there to 2 Kings 4:8. Just the Lord changed my sermon, like I said. This all came like an hour before I came to church. I'm so grateful for the Holy Ghost. 2 Kings chapter number 4. This is a story that a good friend minister of ours made a point about this story. A number of years ago, I never forgot it, Pastor Debbie Simons from Merced, California. She said this is 2 Kings chapter number 4. This is the story of the great woman of Shunem. Remember, Elijah came by, and Elisha, I should say. The Bible says that she prepared for him by building on this little addition. She said, anytime you come by, just come in here, and so the Bible said in verse number 8, and it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And notice that as often as he passed by. You know how prophets are. They just show up. I mean, the Holy Ghost might say, go over there, and they'll go over there. And I was like, hi, how are you? Fine, I'm here to preach. Oh, okay, come on in, preach. That's the way our relationship was with Dr. Dufresne. Coming through? Sure, come in, preach. Amen, we're ready. Amen. All our special plans, they're on the back shelf, you know. But my point is that she didn't know when he was going to be coming. You see that? In other words, she had to change her plans on the spur of the moment. Are you still out there? She didn't know if he was going to show up today, next week, 3 months from now, morning, noon, or night. She didn't know any of that. But here's what she did. She lived in such a way she stayed ready for him whenever he came. In other words, here's the point. She was adaptable. She was flexible. Hello? Honor adapts to the one God is using in your life. It doesn't expect them to change and adapt their schedule, their plans, or whatever, so that they can adapt or be flexible with me. I am flexible to the one who's speaking into my life. That's honor. That's also a lifestyle of being prepared for what God wants to do. I don't know if I'm making any sense. If you can't change your plans and your schedule and be inconvenienced to go out of your way for a man of God, you'll do without. If you can't change your schedule, your plans or your schedule, and be inconvenienced to go out of your way for a man of God, you'll do without. If you can't be flexible and accommodate a man of God's schedule, his needs, and even his desires, you will not be where you need to be to receive through his ministry, number one, in the natural, and certainly you won't be in the right place in your heart. If they're always an inconvenience to us, we're not in the right place in our heart. Well, this isn't a good time. That's not the right place in your heart. When God wants to do something, that's our time. That becomes our schedule. That becomes our plan. Other plans? No longer. Here's our plan. Amen. It's more appropriate for us to change our plans and our schedules or desires or needs that for a need that a man of God has than for them to adjust these things to accommodate us. In other words, let's be prepared to flow any direction God, through Dr. Roberts, wants to flow. If he says, last minute, and we've thought about this too. If he says, last minute, there's somebody over in the overflow, I need to go minister healing. We already have a vehicle sitting back here ready. The person that's going to drive it is assigned. We already have the security. We already have things already prepared. Why? Because we're flexible. Amen. We already know what we're going to do if it rains. Everything's prepared. Everything. If we haven't thought about something, as soon as it comes up, Holy Ghost, what to do? We'll do it, and we'll flow with it. And if it's different than the way we thought it was going to be, then we change our plans and we go with the way we go with. We accommodate the flow of God and what the needs are of the one God's using. Hallelujah. So be prepared in your helps ministry department to flow with direction that comes, even if all of a sudden we say, okay, everything we told you about this area, it's all out the window. Here's the way we're doing this. Amen. If direction comes that way, stay out of your head. Stay ready to completely throw away your plans to move with the direction that comes from leadership. Amen. That's honor. And that's being ready. It's a place in heart where you're ready to go whichever way God wants to go, whichever way the needs of the minister are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's go over to the spiritual now. Talking about preparing spiritually. Hallelujah. This is not just another meeting. It's a turning point for this ministry. I believe particularly in the area of healing. Amen. People miss the greatness that is in a man of God because they're so natural-minded. They live so much in the natural that they only see a person's humanity or their personality I noticed as soon as I got around, the first time I got around Dr. Roberts, he's a very personable person, easy to talk to. Love his personality. But that's not what we're having him for, because I love his personality. It's the seed of God in that man. It's the anointing in that man. The things he's seen, the things he's been around and witnessed, the people he has ministered with and stood on stages with, the leaders in the last 50 years, he's known them all personally. Hello? Ministered on stages with them. Amen. And so we've got to reach beyond the natural and pull on the deposits that are in there by the Spirit that have been put in there by God. Amen. And we need to learn to recognize these things. There are people that just see the natural side and totally miss the greatness of God in people. I'm not going to be one of those individuals. Amen. Otherwise, what they carry on the inside of them and come here prepared to deliver will lie dormant on the inside of them, because it's an honor issue. Amen. It's still in him. But if we don't honor it, he'll carry it with him somewhere else. Somebody else will get what we should have got. And I'm not interested in that. I said, I'm not interested in that. Can I get a great big amen? And I agree with you, Pastor. But so that means we got to prepare our heart to receive what God, what starts coming at us in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want somebody else to get my blessing. I want to be the kind of, you know, the Bible talks about over in, let's see if I can find this reference. I got it here somewhere in the book of, it's in the Old Testament. It talks about the people of Israel lightly esteemed the Deuteronomy 32, 15. They lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. That's talking about God. They lightly esteemed. Esteem is a word for honor. I like to say they are honor light. In other words, they're not heavyweight honor people. They're lightweights when it comes to honor. And there are people like that today. There are circles of the body of Christ like that today. I love Pastor Nancy's heart when she had Richard Roberts in for the first time. She continues to, but I'm just talking about the first time. She talked to me about the first time. She gave him the biggest offering. If it was a big offering the first time. And he called her that night or whatever, the next morning, and just was, my goodness. He said, I have not ever received an offering like this. I thought to myself, what? What? And she said, Brother Richard, she said, this, I'm not giving you that offering because you came here and ministered in our church for a few days. I'm saying thank you to your whole family for taking all the darts and all the hits and all the devil's attacks and pioneering the message of faith and healing into the, not only America, but into the world. For not only in your generation, but your dad's generation. And you honor that, and you don't poo-poo your dad, and you honor it. And so this is a thank you from the whole body of Christ for taking all those darts. I love that heart. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. That's the way that I'm going to give whenever he's here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be a lightweight when it comes to giving, or a lightweight. Somebody said, you're just trying to glorify a man. No, I'm magnifying what's in a man. And if you don't learn to do that, you'll miss Jesus himself, because Jesus comes today in human beings. They're just as human. They have flaws just like all the rest of us. But we're not looking at that. We're looking at the gift on the inside of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm getting it out. Praise the Lord. So I don't want to be a lightweight when it comes to honor. I want to be a heavyweight. I want these kinds of anointings to, whenever I invite them back, not to say in their heart, I don't think so. I want them to go anytime. Because I got out what was in my heart. I was able to minister what the anointing wanted to do. And I'm so thankful that they invited me back. The music flowed with me. The helps ministry flowed with me. I was refreshed there. I didn't have to think about anything. They thought about it all. I was able to give myself to the word and prayer. Everything was just, and besides that, they took care of me financially, and they didn't rob me and treat me like I wasn't worth anything. Get their calendar out and say, when do you want me to come? That's how you receive what the best things God has for you. Amen. I want to be an honor heavyweight. Now, that might sound strange to people. They think that, you know, you're trying to glorify a man. Well, if it wasn't in that man, it would be in somebody else. I'm glorifying it. I'm glorifying what's in the man. Hallelujah. I want to be the kind of person when it comes to honor that when the minister sees me walking into the service, they go, oh, now we can have a meeting. So glad they showed up. Woo-hoo-hoo! I needed all that supply. I'm glad to see them. Because I just preach in front of them and they'll pull it right out of me, and the rest of the crowd will get blessed because they're pulling it out of me. That's the way I want to be. How about you? They're pulling it out of me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pulls the utterance out, pulls the healing ministry out, pulls anything that I've got out. I mean, just get it all. Hallelujah. And those that build that kind of a honor in their heart and prepare their heart for that kind of receiving, they'll get a larger portion of what God has for them. Amen. Well, all right, so with that being said, let's just wrap it up by saying a few of these things. The thing we ought to do, there's so many people in the body of Christ that they, after 20 years pass by, after a person has died, they start recognizing what that person carried. Then they start writing books about them, and it starts becoming, you know, they're written in church history, and things that at the time people didn't think much about, later they start thinking about it. Let's not be those kind of people that don't see it till later. Let's see it right now. And 20 years later, we'll be able to say, we were in those meetings. What? Oh, thank you, Jesus, that I had the spiritual perception and honor to recognize what God was doing at the time and not later. Amen. That's been that way for a number of ministers in my life. Brother Hagin, I'm so glad I was there up until the end. Dr. Dufresne, I was there up until the end. In fact, more and more there all the time. Hallelujah. I was a part of the furniture when Brother Dr. Dufresne showed up. Well, there he is again, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:1 concerning things that pertain to the Holy Ghost, I don't want you to be ignorant. And then he goes on and talks about ministry gifts and endowments of the Spirit and people's place in the body of Christ. Isn't that right? And then in chapter 11, he said that we are to discern the body. It's dangerous to not discern the body. He said, if we don't discern the body, we become weak and sickly and die prematurely. Well, let's discern what's coming into our midst and rightly prepare. See, that's what we're really talking about. We're not just talking about recognizing it, but doing something to prepare for it. To prepare to receive is what I'm talking about. Amen? I don't want to be deficient in spiritual things because I was so dull I didn't recognize what God was trying to bring into my life. And I didn't do anything to receive it. I didn't do anything to prepare. Be spiritually deficient. When we traveled full-time in the traveling ministry, we could tell, before we even talked to the pastor, we could tell the pastors who had been stuck in their town and not gotten out to any meetings and gotten fed themselves. They were depleted. Amen. Because they don't discern the place they're connected in the body. So they do without, and so they're deficient. And so their ministry's not quite hitting on all cylinders and they're struggling. We could discern it just as soon as we got there. They're just stuck in their town. And they shouldn't be going all the time, you understand? But you gotta get out and get fed yourself. If somewhere God says that's your supply, that's your connection, or else you'll become deficient. Because it's really not discerning that there's more to the body than you. Yes, sir. Amen. That's why some people are lacking spiritually, financially, in other ways, is because when God says, I'm sending a visitation, I want you to be in that meeting, they go, oh, I'm busy, you know, I can't come, I've bought a cow, and I got to go see if it was the right one. And remember those stories Jesus told? I don't want to 20 years from now find out what I lost because I had to go check out a piece of real estate or do something natural. Something that matters zero the day after you do it. But these things that are sent to us in the Spirit, they are for eternity. They affect our destiny. They equip us for our destiny. Amen. Romans 1:11 says, Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift. Isn't that right? Well, somebody said, all I need is Jesus. Well, why did Paul then have to see them to impart? Jesus is still doing things through his people. Isn't that right? Through ministers that he sends. Well, if you're still glad, say amen.
Amen.
One thing I'm going to say before we close, and that's to prepare in something in another area. Something that you can do this for the rest of this week to prepare your heart is, if you need to receive healing or you have something you're believing God for in this meeting, because we ought to come believing God. I've learned to do that. Pastor Debbie and I don't go to meetings. We say, we're going and we're believing God for this specifically. Direction in this area, impartations in this area, whatever. Something we're believing God for. We don't just go to meetings. We go believing God, and we do it specifically. And maybe it's something in the natural, maybe something in your heart, something you need to be aware of, direction you need to get from God or whatever. But whatever it is, let's just say, I'm taking healing, for example, because that's some things, a lot of people coming for that. Then prepare your heart to receive that by getting rid of the unforgiveness in your heart. The little grudges, the little irritations. Amen. Ask people to forgive you that you've wronged. The people that have irritated you, let go of all the grudges. Send somebody some flowers. Send them something and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Well, they were wrong too. That's not your business. Your business is what you did, or you know. And get all that dealt with. Can you say amen? I'll never forget a story of a lady that Pastor Debbie and I helped at the Kenneth Hagin Ministries Healing School for how many years, honey? Was it 6 years, I think? And there, as that progressed, after only a year or two, I think, if I remember right, during camp meeting week, Brother Hagin had camp meeting every year in July, and during camp meeting week, they kind of moved. They had the big convention center for the meetings, but then they had a whole wing of the convention center, kind of like a ballroom area, with all sorts of tables and information about Rhema and information about Healing School and all the branches of the ministry, all the information about everything that their ministry was involved in. And they asked us to help on a rotating schedule in the Healing Center booth. And so Pastor Debbie and I did that, and people would come by and they would wanted prayer for healing. Right there sometimes. And so they kept people ready to do that. Well, I'll never forget, we didn't actually pray for this lady, but we were over there in that area and we heard her testimony. She was she came to receive healing. I forget the condition, but she had been getting worse for a number of years and had not been getting better. And she was in all the meetings and came from a city from another part of, I think it was from the Northeast if I remember right. But she came to receive her healing, and she was listening to all the meetings. And one morning, Charles Capps ministered on forgiveness. You know, Mark 11, 23, 24, and 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. And he was talking about that. And he shared a lot about that in that particular morning service. And she's sitting there hearing that, and she realized, she said, well, I was going to get in the healing line tonight. But she said, I realize I've had unforgiveness in my heart for, I forget how many years, with her brother because of some things that went down when they split the inheritance. And so she had lunch and went back to her room, And she just decided, I've got to deal with that before I get in the healing line. I see it in the Word because it was taught from this morning service. And so she said, I'm going to do that. She got on the phone, called her brother. They hadn't talked in years. Called her brother and said, hi, this is your sister, and introduced herself. And he said, oh, my goodness. He said, it's good to hear your voice. He said, I've been thinking about you. I needed to call you. You beat me to it. And she said, well, I just needed to call you because, you know, I've held this against you all these, you know, they both knew what it was, all these years, and I was wrong. I mean, she knew that he had done some wrong, but she was repenting the way she had treated him and the unforgiveness and the things she had said and all that. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And he said, well, no, I was really the one that was wrong. Please forgive me. I cheated you. You know, and so they had to agree that both of them were wrong, but you know how that goes sometimes. But they both agreed, and they repented one another, forgave one another, released one another, said, where do you live, and all that. We want to get together. I'm coming back in town. I'm out here in a meeting in Tulsa. I'm gonna get in the healing line, and I just wanted to call you and get back in fellowship with you and get things right and everything, get my heart right, and because I've been attacked physically. And she said, when we get back in town, let's get together. Oh, I'd love to do that, he said. So they made those plans. And she said, ah, oh, so glad I got that dealt with. She laid down on the bed to take a nap before she got up to get in the service that night. And she took a nap, woke up the next, not the next morning, but a few hours later, whatever it was, woke up, and she started getting ready. She said, oh, praise God, I got that right in my heart. I'm going to get in the healing line tonight. And she started checking her body. I don't remember what the condition was, but she kept checking her body, and the symptoms were totally gone. She was already healed. Hallelujah. Ooh, I like that. I'll never forget that story. Never forget that story. You know what that means? God is ready. Amen. He's ready right now. He's not ready in the healing line. He's ready right now. But here's the point. If that's going to be our point of contact, some sort of point of contact whenever he ministers healing or something, then let's get ready. Everything in our heart is ready for us to receive at those times those things are ministered. Amen. Amen. That's called being ready to receive from God. Hallelujah. Are you going to do anything between now and Sunday to get ready? Hallelujah. Well, I got my heart out. Thank you for... And any little areas you're angry at God that you know, well, God, you just haven't been faithful to me, and this, you know, you haven't been coming through for me, and, you know, I practice your word, and you're not doing anything. Get that all laid aside. Yeah. Lay aside all, James says, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's a lot of big words, but that just means the overflow of all that evil accusing God. If you look at the context, lay all that aside and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Amen.